Freedom costs something. Don't take it for granted. Freedom must constantly be protected, and it's protected by the truth of the Word of God. You can lose your freedom by following people. You can lose your freedom by following tradition. You can lose your freedom by being afraid of what are people going to say. So live your life in the eye of God, that you obey the rules and you keep the commandments, not from the fear of men, but from the love of God.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we continue our study in the book of Galatians. This weekend, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the late great friend of the ministry of Songtime, is going to teach us from Galatians chapter 2, from the testimony of the Apostle Paul, how we ought to contend for the gospel and why it's so important. Stay tuned for that. But first, we're joined by Lindsay Carlson as we talk about the need for encouragement, and not just the flattery of our day, but one that is really established in true hope. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. This weekend, we're continuing our study in the book of Galatians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul that is considered by many scholars to be his harshest worded letter ever. These words that he writes to the Galatian believers are strong, they are forceful, and they are critical. It's hard for us to read them because we don't necessarily like to hear these harsh words, and yet they are necessary because what is at stake in the letter of Galatians is the message of the gospel. Why do we recoil so easily to critical and honest criticisms of our faith and our beliefs? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Our guest today is Lindsay Carlson, and she's written an excellent book that can give us some perspective on this issue. It's called A Better Encouragement, Trading Self-Help for True Hope. And Lindsay, this is a subject that I think really resonates with our listeners because we don't know how to deal with criticism in light of encouragement. We also want to be able to encourage other people, but we don't want to be the person that's, just kissing them and telling them what they want to hear. We want to be able to speak the truth, but to do so in love. And that is a hard thing to approach.
Yes, because if we're trying to just simply only affirm people with our words, then we measure success by whether or not people like what they heard. Mm-hmm. And so as a minister of the gospel, who's called to hold the sword of truth, right? And to use that when I go into battle, to divide between flesh and bone, I am not always going to be comforting someone. I might actually be cutting away something that's harmful to them or that's diseased or problematic to the body at large. And so when we're doing, when we're encouraging someone, it may be exhortation that is calling them to walk in the light of the truth. And we have to, in those cases, I think, measure the success of encouragement by, am I being faithful to the word of God, to this person, depending on the relational context that we're in? Am I being gentle with those words? There's all kinds of ways to talk about the way that we do that. But the bottom line that you're getting at is that we don't get to necessarily always choose whether our faithfulness is going to walk away with the person giving us a big hug and saying, thank you so much. Because I think sometimes God doesn't want truth to do that. Sometimes truth and law act as a way that point us to our insufficiency and our need for Jesus. So we have to allow it to do both things.
In the context of thinking about encouragement and affirming people, there's that idea of the kisses of an enemy, this idea of flattery that ends up being in a saturated world of social media. We have these endorphins. We love the affirmation. We love that flattery. And yet we're coming off of it feeling rather empty. It doesn't satisfy in the sense that it helps us in our spiritual growth.
Absolutely. And I think that, there's also, I think social media has fueled a culture of feeling like we need to agree with everybody at all times. And that if we don't, then we shouldn't be friends with them. And, or we shouldn't follow them, or we shouldn't listen to their opinions or things like that. And there's a place for guarding your heart. But I think also, because faithful are the wounds of a friend, I think that often we need to be looking out for people who are willing to speak truth to us, and to not label them as an enemy, when they're speaking words of truth meant to exhort us to holiness. Hmm. So we might sometimes label like, oh, that did not sound sweet. And so it was not encouraging. And this person is an enemy, maybe not an enemy of God, but surely an enemy of me. And really, no discipline feels pleasant for a time, but with time, it produces a harvest of righteousness, right? So we know that when the truth cuts and hurts, if it's the Spirit working in us, it may be painful. And I think sometimes it's easier to recognize deep, good friendship like that retrospectively after you've kind of had a chance to take a breath and say, wow, Lord, that hurt. Help me process that. Help me deal with this. Was this a wound of a friend, or was this something that was just an unkind word, you know, that wasn't true? And I think that when we look back and see friends that are willing to hold us to hard things and say hard truths because they want to exhort us in the ways of godliness, I think those are the people that I think we often learn the most from about who to encourage. Like, I think I have a team. I mean, it's not a team that I've gathered, but I could name people that I would say are on Team Lindsey Carlson. And it's not because they think I'm so fantastic. It's because they just love me and they know my brokenness and they know where I struggle. And so if I call them and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, you know, this is how I feel, I know that they're going to speak truth into my life. And it may not sound like, no, Lindsey, you're so great and impressive and you do everything perfectly. They're usually going to say, have you been resting? Have you been, you know, like, what is the Lord saying in your prayer life right now? You know, like, they're going to press on things because they are faithful. And they are going to exhort me to walk obediently to the Spirit and to the Lord because they know that I want to be conformed to the image of Christ, not to what the world looks like. And I think that sometimes social media can distract us from what we should actually be striving to look like.
We've been talking with Lindsey Carlson about her book called A Better Encouragement, Trading Self-Help for True Hope. It's a great resource and one that I can honestly say is going to be an encouragement to you. Maybe you need that encouragement, or maybe you need a little help on being a better encourager of others. We all could use some help in this area. To find out more information about Lindsey Carlson's book, A Better Encouragement, give us a call, 508-362-7070, or you can head over to our website at songtime.com. And of course, all of this information is made available on our website. There's much more to the conversation. You just got to hear a little snippet of it. So unless you're tuning in every day of the week, be sure to check out our podcast and the video that goes along with it. Again, visit our website at songtime.com. Well, today we're continuing our theme for this whole month, or actually the next 2 months, on the subject of Galatians, this letter of the Apostle Paul written to the church in Galatia and to us as well, as a warning and a corrective. Where we've been talking about encouragement, we also need to be corrected from time to time. And this is a letter that many scholars consider to be the harshest words of the Apostle Paul ever put from pen to paper. A reminder to us that there are some things that rise to the level of pure and unadulterated anger that is consistent with the very nature of God. How do we know? What are the things that we ought to fight for? What are the things that we should contend for? Doctrinal distinctives, things that separate us by denomination, or what are the essential things that we ought to make known are crucial for every single believer? Here to help us today is the late, great Dr. Warren Wiersbe with a closer look at Paul's witness and testimony in Galatians chapter 2.
Galatians chapter 2, we find the Apostle Paul involved in two battles because there were two threats to the liberty of the Christian. And these threats are still with us today. And I wonder where the freedom fighters are. Where are the people who will stand up and be counted and say, I am going to fight to preserve the freedom of the church? Now, we must constantly beware of the threats to our spiritual liberty in Christ. And here in Galatians chapter 2, we find two enemies that are a constant threat to our freedom in Christ. Verses 1 through 10. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Titus was a Gentile. And I went up by revelation. and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them who were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. That Greek word brought in is used for a traitor who brings in the enemy to take over. False brethren unawares brought in who came in secretly. Philip says they wormed their way in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, most Bible students believe that these 10 verses refer to the council in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas were ministering in Antioch. In Antioch, there were many Gentile believers. When these Gentiles had gotten saved, the Jewish church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas up there to check things out. Was this for real? And when Barnabas saw the grace of God, he exhorted them to continue in the Lord, and he was very happy. He went and found Paul. You know why Barnabas went and found Paul? He knew that God had given to Paul a commission of the Gentiles. And certain men who came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. The problem was caused by two groups of people. Number one, saved people who were legalists. Number two, unsaved people who were legalists who wormed their way in. That's what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 2, this conference in Acts chapter 15. Paul had discovered that there were these false brethren in this group, and every place Paul went to preach, this crowd showed up and undermined his ministry. Now, the Word of God warns us about people creeping in. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul in Acts chapter 20 said, I know that after my departure, wolves are going to come in. Beware now. You watch. Our enemies are not outside the church. They're inside the church. And if we are not careful while we are sleeping, these people worm their way in. And they say to somebody, oh, you can't be saved except, except, except. And then you've got division in the church and problems. Our first enemy, then, is the false brother who comes in. Now, in the rest of this chapter, in Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, Paul talks about a second enemy. Not the false brother who comes in with a false salvation, but the fearful brother who goes out with a false separation. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, Peter did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them who were of the circumcision. Verse 14, But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, that little word walk uprightly is our word orthopedic. An orthopedic surgeon is somebody who works on your feet so you can walk straight. And so Paul showed up as the orthopedic surgeon. He said, Peter, you need surgery. Your feet aren't walking straight. Barnabas, you need surgery. Paul had the courage to stand up and do something about this. Now, why did Paul fight these false brothers who came in? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Why did Paul denounce Peter to the face? Verse 14, he was not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. What was Paul concerned about? The truth of the gospel. I say this lovingly, I say this carefully. A false separation denies the truth of the gospel. I want to give you a little rule, not a law, but a little rule, a little principle that will help you if you want to get along with people. When you meet an unsaved person, look upon him as someone for whom Jesus died. You'll be able to love him. When you meet a Christian, look upon him as someone in whom Jesus lives, and you'll be able to love him. As I travel around this country preaching in different places, as I receive mail from many people, my heart is broken that Christians can't love each other and work together and walk together, at least be kind to each other. If all of the printer's ink that's being spilled denouncing a brother for some minor thing were used to get out the gospel, more people would get saved. Peter was a great man. Peter preached at Pentecost and 3,000 were saved. Peter raised the dead. Peter healed the sick. Peter was a great man, but great men can be wrong. Peter was wrong. I thank God for a Paul who went to him lovingly and said, Peter, you're wrong, and I'm going to straighten you out. I've come here as your spiritual orthopedic surgeon. I'm going to straighten you out. And he did. We don't have the results here, but obviously Peter said, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I apologize, Lord, forgive me. And they went back to work for God. Freedom costs something. Don't take it for granted. Freedom must constantly be protected, and it's protected by the truth of the Word of God. You can lose your freedom by following people. You can lose your freedom by following tradition. You can lose your freedom by being afraid of what are people going to say. So live your life in the eye of God, that you obey the rules and you keep the commandments, not from the fear of men, but from the love of God. Be the kind of a student that doesn't even have to have a rule book because you've got Jesus Christ living in your heart. Surrender to the Lord and dare to believe in freedom. Some people are afraid of freedom. Some people aren't ready for freedom. Some people aren't mature enough for freedom. That's what Paul's going to talk about in the next chapter of Galatians, where maturity comes in this matter of freedom.
How do we know when and how intensity and reasonableness and kind of gentleness, how do we balance that out? And when should we actually fight or contend for the faith? I'm so thankful for these verses in Galatians. It actually starts in chapter 1, verse 10, all the way through chapter 2. As Paul recounts his own story, he's giving us an aid by saying, look at my life and how I handled this and how I saw the importance of this issue and what I did to confront it. Because it's in that model that we can learn for ourselves when and where and how often and how intense we should be at contending for the gospel. One of the things I think is a real beautiful picture in this is the contrast between how Paul went about it and subsequently how Peter responded and James responded, and also how the Judaizers went about their attack. Because what Paul was doing, what he was saying, is that he would come into an area, he would preach the gospel, and then when he would leave to go on to another area, these Judaizers, these Jewish people who claimed to be followers of Christ, would come in behind him, discredit his message and slander him and say that he's not a true apostle, that he didn't go through the proper training, that he never spent time with Jesus, and therefore he wasn't a worthy apostle, and his message was kind of misconstrued, and they would preach their own message, a message based on works, that all of the Gentiles had to become Jews in order to become followers of Christ. To be true Christians meant that they needed to be circumcised and hold to kosher laws, especially when it came to the food that they were eating. This infuriated Paul, and that is why he's confronting them. But how does Paul respond? In contrast to the sort of manipulative methods of the Judaizers, Paul comes to the apostles openly. He tells his story. He makes his life examinable. He presents the story so that other people can be critical to it. And then he goes in front of the apostles, and it says that he even went to some of them privately so as not to shame them, publicly shame them in front of others. This is the model that Jesus laid out for us on how to handle a church discipline. If you have a problem with somebody, you deal with them yourself. And if that doesn't work, then you bring a second person. And if that doesn't work, then you bring it before the fellowship of the brothers. But when he confronts Paul and likewise James, he does so by demonstrating the power of the gospel, because what he's concerned about is not his reputation, it's not his story, he's not fighting for his character and the assassination that he was experiencing by the slander from the Judaizers. No, what he is contending for is the theological distinction of the gospel and warning what is lost when we compromise to legalistic false teachers. That is the way it should be approached. It's a model for us to follow on when and where and how to confront what is wrong in our age, and how not to do it when we look to the example of the Judaizers. A lot of lessons here, hopefully lessons that we can all learn as we seek to be many voices, but one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that we've been able to encourage you. If we have, we would love to hear from you. In fact, we're a ministry that's 100% supported by you, our listeners. So if you want to keep this broadcast on the air, consider giving back through your financial contribution. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Galatians 1, 3 through 5. This is the gospel that Paul is contending for. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen."